Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Do you like what you're hearing right now? Then be sure to check out VOC Nation. Whether it's on VOCNation.com or your favorite podcast provider, VOC Nation offers the greatest in live and on-demand content, great interviews, and incredible insight from those who have lived the business. 7 days a week, VOCNation.com. And don't forget to check us out on Twitter at VOC Nation.
Welcome, everyone, to WCW Retro, where I'm your host for the evening, Papa Stro, the Maestro of Wrestling. And it's always great to have you guys with us. This is the place to be, folks. We talk about past, present, and future professional wrestling, but so much more. You never know who's going to call in to have the fun. And tonight's a very special night. We're on the road to WrestleMania. And on that, we'll be talking family feuds in wrestling tonight over the years. So if you got a favorite family feud you'd like to share in pro wrestling, call at any time to tonight's WCW Retro Live podcast at 914-338-1885. Once again, that number is 914-338-1885. And looking forward to diving into the family feuds tonight with you guys. And before we get started with that, I'd like to make a few special announcements, if you will. First off, support my friends who just sent... the Hydration Fruit Punch drink mix from Second Nature Supplements. And to get your share of that, plus so much more products they got for you that's healthy and good for you, go to secondnaturesupplements.com. That's number two, secondnaturesupplements.com. I'm enjoying mine so far, so support them and give them a shout. Tell them Papa Stro sent you. Shout out Masters of Ring Entertainment, mastersofringentertainment.com. Fishing with Special Friends, fishingwithspecialfriends.com. Check out the Cauliflower Alley Club. I don't know what they're up to at cauliflowerallyclub.org or G. Innovative Hybrid Wrestling and the Maritimes in Canada. Find out what they're up to at ihwwrestling.com. Or Facebook at facebook.com/IHW Wrestling. And with that, my social media roundup, my official website is thestro.com, THESTRO.com. My personal merchandise page is thestro.com/merchandise. Get your Papa Stro merch today for all ages, including pets. Find me a cup of coffee and tips. Send me a donation or a gift. I love getting gifts from you guys. and you know, I'm taking donations right now for some ongoing medical bills. I'm still paying from last year. So if you'd like to donate or just send me a gift, out of the kindness of your heart, send it my PayPal at paypal.me/PapaStrode. And we're together. It's paypal.me/PapaStrode. Thank you in advance for your support. If you'd like to be a special guest on the coming episode of WCW Retro, email me at wcwretro@yahoo.com. It's a case of exposure on a network, if you will, on the podcast. And I'm taking bookings also for a plethora of things. Stand-up comedy, commentary, voiceover for events, not just pro wrestling, for any event, fight TV, etc. Motivational speaking, Comic-Cons, conventions, speaking engagements, motivational speaking, seminars, autograph signings, appearances, what have you. I do a lot these days. Interviews, charities, etc. Email me, strofoya@yahoo.com. That's STRO4YA@yahoo.com. And let's talk business. And if and for the rest of my social media, Twitter @signsofstro, THESTRO. Instagram @stromaestro. Subscribe to my YouTube channel, guys, youtube.com/stromaestro. I'm on twitch.tv/realpapastro. And yeah, man, I think I wrapped it up. That was a mouthful, but great to have you guys back here. We're talking Family Feuds here tonight. And let's get to it. First off, 609 area code. Welcome to WCW Retro.
What's going on, Stro?
Hey, Howard. Welcome back, brother. How you doing?
Good, man. Good. How are you?
Getting through the week. Oh, goodness. It's almost the weekend, so window home stretch.
Almost, yeah. I'm actually in St. Louis, Missouri. I'll be flying home tomorrow.
Oh, Missouri. Right on. You see the arch yet?
I'm sorry, not St. Louis. Sorry, St. Joseph's, Missouri. Sorry, St. Joseph, Missouri.
Joseph. Okay. All right.
Yeah, sorry.
How's it going out there?
Yeah, I'm only here for today, and then I'll be flying home tomorrow. But it's been... Oh, okay. Pretty crazy day of traveling.
Oh, I can imagine. Mm. Yeah, we're getting close, man. It's less than 2 weeks away from WrestleMania. Man,
yeah,
the countdown
I can't wait.
Is on.
And I'm not excited. I mean, maybe I'm a little too old school, but. I just wish it was one day and still make it a 3-hour event, maybe condense it down. But there's just some matches that I'm just not really interested in. And I don't know what they can do in the next, you know, week and a half or so to get me interested in them. I just think, you know, there's easily 3 or 4 matches you could eliminate from there, and I would be okay with it.
I guess in the words of Edge, as of like, they need more grit. The story, right? More grit.
Yeah, just a little bit, and you know, and I think as I watch Raw and as I watch SmackDown, they spend a lot of time, you know, advertising just certain matches. I think if they would have, you know, just thrown a couple more in there to get us a little more interested and dig into the story, you know, and get me interested in these matches coming up, I think it would have done better. But just, you know, and I think the whole Omos and Lesnar match could be good, but there's just nothing there for me to, you know, get interested in.
Right. And, you know, and even like, and some, don't get me wrong, some of the promo work has been outstanding, and the storytelling has been great. I still feel that even with, let's start at the top, right, with Cody and Roman, which they've played this up masterfully in their promo segments, right? but I still feel something is missing from that to really get that interest up. I mean, I don't think it's personal enough, honestly. I don't. There's nothing that, you know what I mean?
Yeah, there's nothing there that endears me to Cody Rhodes. You know, if he wins it, not only what their plan is. I mean, there's rumors circulating, you know, that Roman's taking some time off, and listen, maybe some much deserved time off. But you know, I just think again, you know, there's other people in the locker room that maybe could fill that spot and have a, you know, maybe not a better match per se, but the build up and the anticipation to that, you know, to some, you know, somebody else clashing with Roman would have been better than really what it feels like. Cody Rhodes walking in here and really all he's done, and no disrespect to Cody Rhodes, I think he's a hell of a worker, but he won the Royal Rumble. What else have you done? You know, you haven't done anything to, you know, make me want to cheer for you.
I mean, there's no, like, remember back in the day, his dad was jumped by the Four Horsemen, and they hurt his leg or he hurt his arm or and made it real personal at that. There's none of that in this feud yet, I feel. And I mean, and it could very well happen. That's the thing. I mean, you don't see the Bloodline jumping Cody and doing something dastardly, maybe like ripping his dad's picture in front of him, his face. I'm just throwing it out there, right? Ideas.
Yeah, something.
I
remember, and you know, that they had, you know, when Ric Flair and Ricky Morton, when Ricky Morton had a broken nose and the Horseman kind of jumped in on him, and you know, again, involving Horseman when they kind of rubbed Magnum T.A.'s face into the concrete. You know, it's like now you've made it personal. Now you've involved everybody. You know, and I think the whole build up with Cody telling Solo that you're just not ready yet should have happened a couple of weeks ago, and Solo and Cody get into a little bit, and maybe he leaves Cody laying in the middle of the ring, kind of like what Logan Paul's been doing to Seth Rollins. Just, listen, lay him out, and you know, call it a lucky shot, call it whatever you want, but something, I think there's just a piece or two missing that would really make this puzzle be so much clearer, so much better going into WrestleMania.
I mean,
they
kicked his ass every chance they got. Bloodline did, and that's how it got over.
Right, that's what.
And I'm thinking, why are they doing the same to Cody? You know what I mean?
Right, that's what won me to Sami Zayn. And again, when Sami and Roman had their match, you know, when Roman went out, you know, out into the, you know, to the guardrail and really in front of Sammy's wife and all of his fans in Canada, say, this isn't my fault. You know, he did this to himself. You know, so he's taking that personal level and bringing it up a notch and bringing it into the match where now I'm like, man, you're forced to hate Roman even more, for not only for what he's done, but for what he's continuing to do to Sammy during the match. But yet he just can't put Sammy away. He just couldn't. He gave him everything he had, and he just couldn't, you know, it literally had everybody, I believe, you know, whether you're there live or watching it at home, really on the edge of their seat, like, could this be it? Could this be the guy that finally, you know, dethrones Roman Reigns? And we were hook, line, and sinker in it.
You know what I think should happen, honestly? Honestly, that would, I think it would really get, I mean, this is just my opinion. Just take it for 10 cents or a grain of salt. But that would really, I think, get people invested in, per se, our heroes, if you will. If the Bloodline just lays everybody out, just, you know, leading towards WrestleMania, just starts kicking everybody's ass, lays out Owens, lays out Sammy, lays out Cody, just beat the hell out of everybody. I mean, and look strong leading into Mania. That way, you know, the people
kind of like the Horsemen did,
dying
right?
For a chance, dying for the chance our heroes to make some kind of make some retribution and some type of comeback at Mania. Get people invested, you know what I mean?
Right, and the promos between Cody and Heyman and Cody and Roman, they've been great. The promos have been great, but it's just
the
physicality hasn't been there. There hasn't been, you know, and I think because everybody has their own entrances now, it used to be, I mean, watching, you know, the old Mid-Atlantic Championship Wrestling and Georgia Championship Wrestling and even the old WWF, you would get interrupted almost, you know, backstage during your interview or wherever they had the interview segment. And, you know, and it would start there and it would be broken up. I remember when they were talking to Nikita Koloff and Ivan Koloff were out there talking to David Crockett and Tony Schiavone about Magnum, I think it was the Magnum TA matches coming up. And Nikita, quote, you know, rushes sickle David Crockett. I thought he killed him. And Tony Schiavone just
Barbarian laughing in the ring. We just watched it in the ring with Paul Jones and Barbarian's laughing.
Yeah, and you're like, oh my God, I just watched David Crockett die. Like that's missing. But what it made you do was it made you hate Nikita Koloff. And listen, it was easy to hate him because he's Russian anyway, but you know, it made you hate him even more. And listen, you took it beyond, you hurt somebody at Magnum TA was friends with, you know, just like if you hurt Dusty Rhodes or if you hurt, you know, back in the day, Sam Houston, as much as he was the whipping boy,
right,
you know, during that whole thing, that's what you did.
Yeah.
And I think that's what's missing. They need to mix a little more, I think, old school storytelling in it. And I thought they were coming back with Roman and Cody, but it's falling flat.
I'll be honest with you. Roman and Solo should have beat the hell out of Cody Monday.
Yes.
Should just beat, let him laying, just beat the, rip his suit up, just beat the tar out of him. Because Cody needs sympathy.
Yeah, and then you go back because, right, because you've sent, you know, Jimmy J. Uso back to go eat, you know, and Roman's going to handle business. And now he comes back to the Usos to say, this is how you handle business on the next SmackDown or even on Raw. This is how you handle business. This is what needs to be done. This is what you need to do to Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens.
Why wouldn't they do it to Cody? Why wouldn't they do the same to Cody? You know what I mean?
Right. So, yeah, something should have happened at the end of this last Raw to just build a little more tension, a little more drama towards, you know, listen, they call it the Showcase of the Immortals, right? So you're not selling me on it. As much as I want to say it, there's just something there and it's missing.
I really hope starting SmackDown tomorrow night and leading up to next week, I really hope Bloodline just goes in a tangent, just beating the hell out of everybody, getting that heat, man, because they need it. I really think they need it leading into Mania.
No, yeah, they definitely need some more heat, you know, and red hot heat. You know, that's building up because you only have a couple of shows. What do you got? Three shows left, I think, before.
Yeah.
You know, the WrestleMania. So you don't have a lot of time.
Yeah, and Bloodline. I really think Bloodline should look strong lead into it.
Yeah. They need
no matter what.
Yeah, they're not looking that strong. Right. Yeah. Whatever their outcome is, they're just not looking as strong as, you know, the Horsemen did, or strong as, you know, like the Midnight Express going into their matches, like
Express or they just the NWO or DX. I mean, they would, you know, they'd beat hell at anybody.
Yeah, and they would leave everybody laying, and yeah, it's just not happening. I wish it would, and maybe in the next, you know, three or four shows, whatever they have left, you know, maybe they amp it up a little bit, but you know, we'll see it. And again, I don't know what their timeline looks like, or what they have planned, but you know, I think something big and shocking needs to happen between now and WrestleMania weekend.
I mean, I remember that time that the Horsemen turned on Sting, they're the Clash of Champions.
Yeah.
And they had no mercy on Sting.
No. You know, and going back even further, when Ole Anderson turned on Dusty Rhodes at the Omni. You know,
right.
They almost tore the Omni down because of it. And that was in a cage match, and they were wondering how are we going to get out of this cage match now, because we got 20,000 ticked off people that want to kill us.
Oh, yeah.
But that's what you need.
I remember Cornette was talking in the Clash of Champions, and they turned on Sting, and he was doing commentary. This is the greatest thing I've ever seen in my life.
I love Cornette as a bad guy. I really did. I think he knew how what to say. He knew what would incite the people, and the character that he had, you know, being a mama's boy and having all this money. And, you know, even when he bought Big Bubba Rogers in, you know, and, you know, that was all, you know, Dusty Rhodes' doing. You know, they pulled him off the TV and they're like, we're going to repackage him.
Oh, God, yeah.
And I remember I was listening to, I think it was on a Stone Cold and Jim Cornette podcast, during Stone Cold's podcast, where they were walking into an arena and they were getting out of the car or the cab or whatever they were in.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
And Bubba got his hand caught in the door, and he tells the guy, "Hey, bud, my hand's stuck. Like it's in the door. Like it's jammed in the door. Man, you need to open it." He's like, just as calm as he could be, and they opened the door. He put his hand in his pocket. They went into the arena. He said, as soon as he closed the door, he's like Ray was crying like a little baby, and he's like, dude, why didn't you say something? Like, what if your hand's broken? And Ray's like, the fans were out there. I couldn't break down there. So he took his character really from the cab to the door. And didn't it wasn't long after when Dusty Rhodes hit him with the chair, and it wasn't a gimmick chair, it was a solid wood chair that he broke over his head. And you know, it was by accident, but you know, I think Dusty grabbed the wrong chair and he didn't get the gimmick at first, and that chair exploded over his head. And like oh my but that's what we need. That's what we need.
Yeah.
You know, I mean
that's how
it's just missing.
That's how the old Freebird Von Erich feud got started, if you recall. Remember the cage match?
Yes.
Which Terry Gordy, I think, slammed the door in Kerry's face.
Yeah, right on his face, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that sparked a whole family feud with the Freebirds and the Von Erichs, man, and you know, stuff like that. I mean, here's the thing, you know, I know it's a different day and age, and the wrestling matches are a lot different now than they were back in the 80s and before so, but you know, I still feel in the heart of hearts that a good baby face needs sympathy. They have that emotional connection so people can be invested in. It's a lost art.
Right, yeah. And I remember Robert Gibson was telling a story, speaking of sympathy, where Ricky was just, I don't know who they were wrestling, but Ricky was just getting pounded on. And he said that he looked at Ricky, and Ricky was looking right at this girl right in the front row. And he mouthed to her, help me. And he's like, and the girl just broke down, because what's she going to do? She can't help Ricky Morton. He's getting pummeled in there. Robert's laying on the apron. Right. You know, he's gassed. But Ricky made that connection with that one fan that just sold it. Like, he needed help from somebody. And he wanted this girl to help him. and she couldn't, and she broke, and then the crowd just went bananas because Ricky was getting his brains beat in. But Ricky was so good at doing it, it was like, how could you not feel for him?
What a master.
You know,
Ricky told me this story one time, and Dr. Death, Steve Williams, confirmed it with me, right? He was wrestling Dr. Death about out in the Midwest, Mid-South area, right? And Dr. Death was getting all this heat on him, just beating the crap out of him, right? And Ricky wouldn't come back on him, right? And Dr. Death was trying to tell him, come on, fire up, do something, right? And Ricky just kept selling. And the people were getting hotter and hotter, mad at a point on a borderline riot. And it was scared the hell out of Dr. Death. And finally, Dr. Death finally grabbed Ricky and said, please, Ricky, for the love of God, do something before these people kill me. And finally, Ricky made him come back. What a funny story. Oh, man.
But he knew how to take it right to that brink of causing a riot before he made his comeback. It wasn't too soon. It wasn't too late. His timing was perfect.
Yeah.
And everything that he did.
You don't see that anymore. Man.
No, you don't.
He made a whole career out of that.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Just his facial expression from a no disrespect to me, but from a simple bear hug, really a rest hold. Now, he would sell it like you were breaking him in half. He would get his arms up and his face, like he was in like true agony, and it's just, it's not there. You see a guy now take a super kick and he gets right back up again.
Well, oh my God.
That's a finishing move. I think they jump up too soon. I think the art of selling is getting lost in the performance.
Super kicks and DDTs has someone can kick out of? Wow.
Right.
We're all superhuman, I guess.
Yeah. And I think Baron Corbin said it. Somebody asked him in an interview, would you rather win a world title, or have nobody kick out from your finisher? And he's like, I don't want anybody to kick out from my finisher. It's a finisher for a reason. If somebody kicks out, then that aura, that mystique, that damage that move does is gone. Can you imagine somebody back in the mid '80s kicking out of Jake's DDT as fast as that came?
Oh my God!
And it would really come out of nowhere. And if people started kicking out, it would just be another move. And the toughness of Jake Roberts is gone. What's that?
Right. You used to hear in the business, like.
Yeah.
Never let no one kick out your finisher, and never let no one break your submission hold if you have a submission finisher.
Right. Yeah. If you have a submission hold, if people broke out of the Von Erich claw, what would it be? It wouldn't be anything.
Oh, it'd be a riot. In the ring, but in the back.
Right. And I think that's kind of what's missing in. I think that's what they need, and for them to try to pull it off in 3 weeks, I don't know that we'll get, I don't know that we'll get there, I don't know, and again, I don't know if they know how to get there, the newer talent today, not taking away any of their ability or what they do but they don't, it's missing, something is missing, especially with Cody Rhodes and Roman. This should be really, national news everywhere. And it just seems a little flat.
I mean, I realize they're like a public traded, company. And they go all over the world and that sort of thing. But they still should have some type of heat and sympathy to bring the people more investment-wise into their story. You know what I mean?
Right. Yes.
Let's bring up 615 area code. Welcome to WCW Retro.
Hey.
Oh, is this Patty?
Yes. Yep. That's me.
Pat, welcome back. How you doing?
Yeah, doing okay. Just kind of laying back, listening to everybody talk.
Oh, okay. Yep.
Enjoying these and
Family Feud tonight.
Yeah.
And you got any favorite feuds that come to mind you'd like to share?
Stone Cold Steve Austin was one of my favorites.
I remember he feuded with Gentleman Chris Sadler back in the day. That's back when he had like blonde hair. Yeah, yeah.
Uh-huh.
I think they feuded over one of Chris's ladies. That was with him at the time.
And I used to love watching the Von Erichs.
Yeah, Von Erichs, right?
Yeah.
Yep. They were just talking about that.
Watching that whole entire bunch.
That was back in the good old days.
Yeah, yep. I think right up till Lance Von Erich showed up, I think the Von Erichs were, you know, were on top of the world. They just couldn't get into Lance. They just couldn't.
Yeah. Yeah.
I had a 6-man tag with them years ago. It was, I think, myself, Black Bart, Wild Bill Owen, and Skander Akbar was the manager, and it was Lance, Sam Houston, and Jake Roberts. Yeah, what a wild 6-man that was. Yes.
Oh man.
Kind of wish they'd bring those days back.
He put the claw on me, but I hit the rope. Hey, I was a heel.
Oh, you took the cheap way out, huh?
I know. I was listening. Back then, I was living by Jessica Body Ventura's motto: "When you can, lose you must, but always cheat."
But always cheat. Yep.
Oh man, too much. But man.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, some great memories back then, man.
But how about all the feuds that, whether they were inner family feuds or feuds with just about everybody in the company that the McMahons have had?
Oh, what a family feud.
Not only between, you know, Shane and whatever the breakup is, Shane and Stephanie, or Shane and Vince and Stephanie, or, you know, and they had Linda in there once upon a time, but then, you know, and then, you know, at times they were united fighting everybody. You know, and I really like
Stephanie one time.
Yeah.
Oh wow.
You know, and I always thought, man, that would be like an interesting Thanksgiving or Christmas Day kind of gathering around the table, you know, after you just got done, you know, a match, and, you know, here you are sitting around the Thanksgiving table, you know, your quote unquote mortal enemy asking, hey, can you pass me the potatoes or something, you know?
And didn't Steve Austin's Stone Cold son, like all four of them?
Yeah.
Oh, man. That was crazy. Yeah, they've done it all, man.
Yeah.
They've
had every possible family feud that you can have, whether it's in the family, outside the family, outside the company. You know, they're feuding everywhere. I love the Vince McMahon character. I love the evil McMahon character. Just the way he walked, and you know, every time you think he's going to get it, he just kind of snakes away. But you know, in the end, you know, he is put down for the count. But it was just that whole build up to, you know. They were kind of keeping it old school, you know. Nobody could touch McMahon. You know, they were jumping everybody. They were beating everybody up. And that was a good time.
And you know, Triple H, he got in the mix, too, with the marriage angle, the drive-through marriage angle years ago.
Yeah.
With Tess.
With Tess.
Oh, wow. Good stuff.
I remember that the Undertaker was telling a story when Triple H came to him and said that, you know, that he's going to date Stephanie McMahon, and, you know, he wants something a little more serious. And the Undertaker told him, well, you better hope it works out, because if it doesn't, you're done. Like, you will never work in this business again. But, I mean, you know, thankfully it worked out for him, but he was like, be careful, you know, be careful who you date around here, especially the boss's daughter.
Didn't they get married? Was it true they got married at a place called Sleepy Hollow or something like that?
Yeah, wasn't she drugged or something, or unconscious, or?
Oh, that was the angle on TV. Where they legitimately got married.
Oh, legit. I don't know.
And something to do with Sleepy Hollow or something like that. And I'm thinking, oh, that's a big message right there. Oh my goodness. See, it's funny because I, true story. Okay, here you go. I helped out the mother-in-law. I think it was Linda's mother. She was living near me at the time, and I was helping her move get some furniture off her hands so she could move to Connecticut with the rest of the family, right? And she told me, I was telling, there's a picture I saw with Stephanie, right? And like, we got talking about her and Hunter, right? And she was like telling me, nah, she would never marry a wrestler, right? And later on, when I talked, I bumped into Linda at I think it was a SummerSlam. I'm not sure. I was backstage, and I told her what she had said about.
Never say never.
Right? Oh my goodness. But yeah, they were super. By the way, all the mans were super cool, though. I mean, to me, everything. So I mean, it was kind of glad I can have about the mother-in-law, you know. But fun times, right? but like in the ring, out of the ring. I mean, that's like they've had to like so many family feuds, like you know, with each other and other people. It's been nuts.
Oh yeah, it was crazy.
Mm-hmm. 704 area code. Welcome. Oh, I think it's Mr. Hollywood. Welcome back, brother. How you doing?
How you doing, Papa Stu Maestro?
Hey, how you going, Mr. Hollywood? Yeah, we have Howard that's with us.
How you doing, Howard?
What's going on, buddy? How are you?
How y'all doing? I hope y'all doing good today or tonight, brother.
Doing well, man.
Good. I love you guys, man. I love you guys.
Mr. Hollywood, yeah, man. Mr. Brother, we
talking
Family Feud.
Family Feud? Oh, man. What about Scott Steiner and Rick Steiner? Was that count?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's when Scott joined the NWO, right? And they started feuding.
I'm going to tell you. I can't. I mean, you know, Pops are my story and all my friends online. I'm going to tell you, I can't believe. I mean, who idea was that?
I think it was theirs.
You mean Rick Stein? He agreed to that?
Yeah, they wanted to do something different, evidently, and you know, have Steiner be like one of the big figures for the NWO, and so. That was big then because I mean the Steiners, no one saw the Steiners turn on each other.
So you're telling me, Maestro, that this was Rick Steiner's idea. He agreed to this. Wow.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
If you notice when he made that transformation as Big Papa Pump, he noticed there were a lot of similarities to him and superstar Billy Graham. From my understanding, he had a lot of respect for. So it was pretty wild seeing him make that transformation from what he was looking like with the Steiner brothers to the Big Papa Pump, as we know him now.
I mean, he did a 360 for God's sakes.
Oh boy, did he!
Wow.
What a feud they had, brother versus brother. Yeah,
I know. You know the thing about you know one time Rick Steiner, he was the world tag team champions by himself, right? He won the belt. Am I right?
Yep.
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah.
He had both of the belts by himself.
That's something.
He's
right there.
He's a bad man, Maestro.
Oh,
yeah. When you wear a tag team champion by yourself, that's a man.
But those boys eat, let me tell you. Yes. And both those boys could eat, let me tell you. Oh, my God. One time I was having dinner with Scott, and he downed the whole apple pie, salad, chips, and kept the food coming. He's sitting next to Medasia in front of me, and I'm thinking, I'm looking at Medasia, looking at Scott, man, where are you putting this food, your arms? Right?
Wow.
And he's laughing, like, man, I'm hungry, man. I'm like, oh, my gosh.
Wow.
He put me to shame, I ain't going to lie. But,
wow.
And Rick, here's a funny story, Rick, right? One time we're going to autograph a signing, right? And he stopped, has a driver stop at Arby's to get these roast, like a whole bunch of roast beef sandwiches. And I thought he was giving them for like some of us, you know what I mean? I said, hey, thanks, Rick. I said, no, that's for me, man. That's my breakfast. Get out. So later on, after the autograph signing, they were passing out free Chick-fil-A sandwiches, right, for us, right? And I grabbed a whole bunch. And I looked at Rick and said, man, then this is going to be my lunch. He's so plastic. You know, I was ribbing him. Oh, God.
Wow.
Of course, I didn't eat that many, but, I mean, he probably would eat the whole thing.
Wow.
Then you have the Hardy boys that turned on each other, didn't they?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I don't think it was very long, but I know they had a short feud.
Have you ever experienced turbulence on a flight and wondered why?
And you can see all the terrain around you. You've got no issue with visibility or anything?
No, everything's peachy.
Maybe you've sat on the tarmac for hours wondering why your plane isn't moving.
Well, we're outside here. They're saying the ramp is closed. They won't let us park because of Air Force One.
Listen in on the conversations between pilots and air traffic controllers on the Air Traffic Out of Control podcast.
5103, declaring an emergency. There's smoke in the cabin. I need to make a landing right now on 31 left.
We have the most interesting, wild, and funny ATC recordings you will ever hear. Check out Air Traffic Out of Control wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Go ahead. Wow. Shawn Michaels. Remember the Rockers? Shawn Michaels and his tag team partner?
Oh, yes. When he turned
on Marty Jannetty. I'm going to tell you something, my friends. I'm going to tell you right now that wasn't cool. That was not cool at all.
Yeah. And Marty was out for a while. His face was in glass.
Yeah, he threw him through a glass, right? I'm like, really? Mm-hmm. Seriously? Wow. All I can see is
you
wow.
You talk about Family Feud. What about Kane and Undertaker?
Oh, you're absolutely right.
I was going to bring that up, yep.
Wow. That went on for a while.
That's definitely one for the records. One for the records.
Okay, here we go, guys. Mm. I got the Skype call, so it could be anybody's ball game. Who this caller is. So 1-1-1.
Here we go.
You are WCW Retro.
Hey.
Hello.
Hey,
hello. Hello.
Hey, how y'all doing?
Brian?
How you doing?
Hey, welcome
how you
back,
doing
Brian?
From Mr. Hollywood?
Hey, Brian. Yeah.
How you doing?
We got Mr. Hollywood here. Howard and Patty. We got a party tonight. How's it going, Brian?
How you doing?
I'm doing okay.
How you doing?
I guess.
All right.
Great to hear from you, Brian. It's been a while. It's been
good
a minute.
Good to hear from you, brother.
Yeah.
Good to hear from you, brother.
Hey, Brian, we're talking Family Feud tonight in wrestling. I'm sure you got some favorites.
I can't really think of any.
Well, if
If any comes to mind, please share. Even if they involve Richard Dawkins.
Oh, you know, oh, Maestro, I got one for you, Maestro. What about when David Flair, when Ric Flair's son joined the NWO Wolfpack?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Wow, that was wild.
That was wild, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah.
The dawn of the NWO Wolfpack colors. And then Ric Flair beat Hogan. He beat Hogan for the WCW World Heavyweight title with the help of Arn Anderson with the tar love, whatever you want to call it.
That's right. That's right. He sure did.
Man, he laid Hogan out.
He sure did. You guys, speaking of Family Feud, did you see the Family Feud show with Steve Harvey where they're asking Lacey Von Erich about where her place to make out in and she said a grocery store and the freezer section.
What?
You remember that show?
No.
It was like during it was Lacey. This has been Lacey was with Impact Wrestling, and you know there, I think it was she was with Velvet Sky. You know, beautiful people and a few others from TNA Impact. They were all guests on the show, right?
Wow.
And Steve Harvey made the funniest face when she said the freezer section.
Wow.
Oh,
I'll just
goodness.
Go well on that one.
It's on YouTube, I think, if you get a chance to check it out, though. Yeah.
What's that again, Mike? What's the name
of it? The Family Feud with Steve Harvey is back when they had the Impact Wrestling ladies on there. The TNA knockout. Yeah.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah. It was from a while back, but it was pretty funny. Yeah.
Steve Harvey.
Good stuff.
You said Steve Harvey?
Right. Steve Harvey was the host, yeah.
He was the host of TNA?
He was the host for Family Feud, and they had the TNA knockout ladies as guests on the show. Like,
wow.
Years back.
Okay.
Oh, you remember the Barbarian and Haku having to wrestle each other in a singles match?
Oh, I don't remember that one. Well, I didn't know that.
And they put the faces of fear against each other, right? And someone asked them, I think it was Barbarian or Haku, like, why didn't they do more with you two feuding each other? I think one of them said, I think it was one said, one was enough. We almost killed each other in that match.
Yeah, they were definitely two powerhouses for sure.
Oh God, two I would hate being the referee in that one. Good Lord.
Oh my God. I actually got the Barbie. I got his autograph. I saw him in a convenience store in Charlotte. Got his autograph, the Barbie. That guy. Big dude.
Both him and Haku are still cool, man.
They are.
But, you know, if stuff would hit the fan, those two guys are definitely one on your side.
Oh, no question. Oh, yeah, definitely. No question.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I have them as my bodyguards.
Every time I went to a show, an event with them, or even a restaurant, anywhere, everybody was so nice to us.
Yeah, you better believe it. I'll be nice too.
They knew where the good eating spots were at too. Trust me. They knew their stuff at the restaurant.
Yeah, you better believe it.
Oh gosh, this is good so far. And Brian,
the family feud between Jeff Jarrett and Kurt Angle in TNA.
Oh,
oh God.
Man, Jeff Jarrett. Wow.
That was bringing a bit of personal issues, you know, into the wrestling world.
Wow, that's crazy.
Goodness, great.
That's
you
crazy.
Know, making Kurt Angle upset is pretty scary.
Yeah,
exactly.
That guy's a machine, man. Kurt Angle, he's, oh my God.
I can't even imagine.
I mean, you look at Kurt Angle. The thing amazing about Kurt Angle, he won the gold medal with a broken neck, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And not many people in the world could say that.
I know, right?
Well, I know I can't.
As Kurt would say, with a broken freaking neck.
You're right.
Yes. Yes.
You're right.
But, you know, Jeff, Jeff took it like a champ, man. I got to give my boy Jeff a lot of credit there, man. I mean, they made it work, man. What a few days.
He did what was best for business, I guess.
No, Jeff's a constant professional, man. Constant professional all the way.
No doubt about it.
And, yeah, thank goodness a lot of us think that way, because if we didn't, God, we'd all be in trouble.
All right. Got that right.
You know, Taker was talking about that with CM Punk and his feud, right? Was that a lot of people put a lot into it that wasn't so, and that, you know, he talked like CM Punk was pretty professional with him during their feud at the time, and, you know, and I enjoyed their Mania match was great. I enjoyed it, and the build leading up to it too. Like, we're talking about grit, it's missing a lot as far as current stories go, right, nowadays. And you remember the time where CM Punk took the ashes, disrespected Undertaker, and put the ashes all over him, right? I mean, that was such good heat back then, man. And you don't see much of that anymore.
No, you don't see any of that, and not even anything close to that anymore.
I mean, like the Bloodline, we're talking, some of the guys are just joining here on the podcast. We were talking earlier about how the Bloodline should just be beating the crap out of everybody. I mean, the NWO did, the Horsemen did, DX did.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Yep. You're right.
The Shield did, yeah.
Aces and Ace.
Aces and Ace, yep.
I mean, even back in the day, you know, when it was Bradshaw and JBL, when they were the Accolades, they were just beating up. They didn't care who you are. They were all about this. If you're going to pay me to beat these dudes up, that's what I'm going to go do. And they were just laying out everybody at any time.
Gosh. Man, they didn't care who it was. You saw them coming down the aisle. You're like, oh, okay, you know what's on then.
Wow. Yeah, Maestro, I got Maestro and my friends. I got to call it tonight, but I just want to say I enjoy talking to you guys. I love WCW Retro. Yeah, Papa Stro, Maestro,
love you, man.
And all my brother, I love you guys.
Have a good night,
love
man.
Love you too, brother. You take care.
Y'all have a good night, brother. Love you guys. Yes, we'll do. Peace and love. All right. Peace.
Absolutely.
Bye bye.
Yeah, that was a great Mr. Hollywood, everybody. Glad you can come back, man. Hope he comes back soon. Yeah, we got another caller. Oh, man.
Oh.
This night gets better and better.
Hey, guys.
804 error code. Welcome to WCW Retro.
Hey, Stro.
Hey, gang.
Steve,
I got a special prayer request.
Okay.
If y'all don't mind.
Yeah, sure.
It's my son's aunt. And she's not doing too good right now. And I'm asking for, you know, people to remember Connie Eames in your prayers tonight.
Absolutely. Praying for him right now,
actually. She's having a real rough time right now. You know, it's
absolutely
not no problem.
You got
okay,
it.
Okay, thanks.
Done.
I appreciate it.
Okay. Speaking of prayer requests, I'm glad you mentioned that, Patty. Another person I would like, if we could, give my thoughts and prayers is Rick Harris, Black Bart. He's battling cancer as we speak.
Oh.
So we definitely.
I'll remember that one in my prayers.
Yeah, he's fighting it, so I'm praying he can fight and beat this thing, you know. Mm-hmm. So,
That I've had to deal with that with my father. I lost
my
father to cancer.
Facebook yesterday. Well, I'm sorry to hear that, Patty.
Yeah.
Definitely, but definitely keep them all in our prayers for sure.
Okay.
Brian, you got. I've kind of rounded it back to you again, Brian. You got any family feuds that come to mind?
No.
You or Steve?
I can't think of any.
Okay. Well, if any time you want to jump in, man, feel free. Steve. Go for it, brother.
I'm sure you mentioned Cody and Dustin earlier. I wasn't listening, but
yeah,
they were on my next list to mention, but
Cody and Dustin, yeah.
That was a great match at AEW.
Yes, it was. Probably one of their best.
And I believe even
that was one of the best.
During the Attitude Era, Goldust was impersonating Dusty, so there was some feud between Dusty and Stardust and Dusty and Goldust, so they've teamed together and fought each other. So the Rhodes definitely have an interesting history.
Yeah, what about the Rhodes and the Shield feud? God, what a feud that was.
Yeah, that was definitely a good run for Dustin at that time as Goldust, for sure. That was when his best work, when he was feuding with the Shield.
Yeah, man, what
and
a great
Moxley,
feud that was. Man.
When Ambrose got elbowed by Dustin, that was a pretty cool moment.
Yes, it was.
Especially given their history in FCW before his NXT, Dusty was kind of booking it. And when I asked Ambrose Moxley about the Regal feud that only had two matches, but he said that was all Dusty, and that filled up.
Yeah, Dusty helped all those guys. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome. Man, that was a good feud. It really was, man. But, boy, Cody's come a long way since then, huh? Wow.
For sure.
And we can't forget about the Hart family feud either.
Oh, the Hart.
Right.
Yes. The Hart. Man.
You know, the whole, you know, Owen trying to get out of, you know, Big Brother's shadow and just that whole build-up, because it really did involve, you know, the whole family.
Brett and Owen had some of the best matches ever, man. God, what a feud.
Those were the good old days.
And Brett and Davey Boy Smith.
Yeah,
you know?
SummerSlam. Mm.
Right?
Yeah, that was a good match at Wembley.
Yeah, Wembley, yeah.
Mm-hmm. That was incredible, man. And, oh, man. I mean, got the Hearts. It just makes me wish that, like, you know, Harry Smith and could have mixed it up, you know, with more with, you know, Owen, you know what I mean, and some of the family.
Yeah. And speaking of the good old days, you had back in the day, you had the Heenan family against Andre the Giant. It was, was it John Studd, Bundy, I think Ken Patera, you know, all after Andre the Giant.
See, I have a soft spot for the monsters of the business, and that was like one of my favorite cliques back then. Was the group was Heenan family. He had all the monsters like Andre and everybody. Big John Studd. I mean, gosh, I was just loving life watching those guys.
Yeah, I love Bobby Heenan. He was just so good. Whether he was a manager or an announcer, you know, with him and Gorilla, you know, and just as a manager, he just the guy was gold no matter where he went.
Oh gosh. Did you see the OAWA bit where
I think it was managing. It was Mr. Saito was trying to break these blocks, and Gene Okerlund was doing the he was the commentator and the interviewer, right? And Saito about knocked himself out trying to break the block.
Yeah, oh yeah,
and I
forgot
the
about that.
Started laughing. Oh my god, that was terrible.
I forgot about that.
Great stuff.
Mm. Yes, it was.
Oh, man. You know, even
I think the
in the
only,
bit, like the
I think the only family,
oh, go ahead, Brian.
I think the only family feud I can think of right now, it happened back in the late 70s, early 80s. It was in Memphis.
Mm-hmm.
Jimmy Hart was managing Beautiful Bobby Eaton before he was known with Stan Lane as a man. And Bobby Eaton and Stan Lane was
mm-hmm.
actually having a feud with each other, and Stan Lane was a good guy at the time, and Bobby Eaton was a bad guy. And then Bobby Eaton kind of started getting in disagreement with Jimmy Hart, and Jimmy Hart didn't like
mm-hmm.
that. He said, "What are you doing? You don't need to be helping out Stan Lane. Don't be helping out at him. Now you need to help me out."
Yeah. That man. And look where they went since. Oh man, that was like the start of it all, man.
They became one of the greatest tag teams.
Absolutely. Oh man, that's a good one, Brian. That was a good one. What about speaking of Memphis? What about Jerry Lawler and Brian Christopher? Father and son.
Oh. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Oh man, that was wild, man. And they're father and son, but they were like two different people at the same time. You know what I mean? But they had a good feud there in Memphis, cool, a good bit.
Yeah, you know, there's nothing quite like the old Memphis wrestling. I mean, there's just so many great angles and stories that came out of it, and performers themselves that came from that area. I think sometimes it's overlooked when we talk about, you know, the WWF and, you know, in its 80s and Jim Crockett promotion. In the 80s, I think, you know, we always seem to overlook the Memphis territory where a lot of these guys that became stars in Mid-Atlantic and Jim Crockett and WWF at the time really got their start in Memphis.
Yeah, that's where Vince McMahon, he was the first heel, was in Memphis before he was heel in WWE.
And you know,
the whole heel angle.
One cool fun fact, after Ricky Gibson tragically passed, when Robert was taking Ricky, Robert went on before the Memphis and Rock and Roll Express were ever created, and Robert actually teamed up with Stan Lane, and they were a tag team.
Right. That's right. Yeah. That's
I forgot about that. Wow, that brought back some memories.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
That's wild. And
they were a good tag team, though. You know, I mean, but
oh man,
I know that they teamed up, but you know that was back before the Midnight Express and Rock and Roll Express.
And just imagine if people knew then what directions they would have took years to come.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a good one too, Brian. Man, you guys on a roll tonight. This is fantastic.
But I was watching, and I think I sent you the message over the weekend, Charles, watching Southwest Texas Championship Wrestling. When Tully Blanchard and Gino Hernandez were tag team champions,
yes.
And
oh,
Magnum Chia was, this is 83, and Magnum Chia was involved in a tag team match with them, and long before, you know, Tully and Magnum's storied history with the Horsemen,
mm-hmm.
and you know, it really takes you like, man, these guys really did. I mean, And it's no wonder they were so good together, because they've wrestled each other literally for years, you know, before they, you know, before they became as popular as they were. And that's why they were so good in the ring, is, you know, they've been together so many times.
Now, did they have Gino and Natale, if I'm not mistaken, didn't they have some matches with Magnum and Mr. Wrestling when they were teaming together?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Wow.
And then, you know, we talk about feuds when Mr. Wrestling turned on Magnum for being too cocky and arrogant, and, you know, that whole heel turn, that was, again, it took, you know, weeks and weeks to build up before he finally turned on him. But, you know, that was a great story. And you know, when it happened, Magnum was like, you know, like devastated, like he had lost his mentor. He lost the guy that he looked up to all, you know, all these years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was big back then.
No, it was huge.
That was big. Yes. Yes. Steve, you got any family feuds that come to mind you can think of?
Well, I'm sure you guys might have mentioned the Hardy Boys.
Yeah, we did earlier. Yeah, that was a good one.
They feuded in WWE and TNA, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Yeah. And it's, like, you know, he has some great brother feuds, and we talked about a few of them already. I know it was probably brief, but Terry Funk and Doris Funk Jr.
Right.
They feuded at one time.
I haven't seen it, but I would love to have seen at least a match between them two.
Right, right. And oh gosh, well, we talked about Dusty earlier. What about Dusty and Dick Murdoch? The feud they had years ago.
Oh.
And they used to be tag team champions, that, you know, that Outlaws, remember?
Yeah. Were they West Texas Outlaws, were they? Something like that?
Yeah, yeah. They ended up feuding later on.
I just can't imagine guys like that, and, you know, the business being different now, but back in the, you know, 70s, early 80s, you know, these two guys are out there performing, and then, you know, and they're there, you know, at the arena all day or whatever. Then they go out and they drink all night, and then they get up and do it all over again the next day. And, you know, I remember, I think it was Jake Roberts talking about Dusty and Murdoch, you know, in their legendary drinking skills. And he puts it right up there with with Andre the Giant's, you know, skills. I mean, not on that level, but that kind of, they could go all night long. And then, you know, you throw Ric Flair into the mix, and, you know, it's, you know, it was just a great time to be a wrestling fan, I think.
Oh yeah. And I remember back in the day, poor Jimmy Valiant, man. Every friend that he had would turn on him, like, it was like Manny Fernandez turning on him, Pistol Pez turning to Shaka Watley, Paul Jones on me. Oh man.
I just used to love the way he would, like, when they would get done beating on, he looked like he was going into convulsions. His legs were shaking, and he was just, like, shaking all over the place. I just, you know, again, it was a guy you could get behind. I think he was just, you know, underutilized at times. You know, great performer, great personality. You know, just, you know, underutilized. And, I mean, up until... You know, a few years, he was still, I mean, wrestling into his, you know, 70s, I believe.
Yeah. And here's another one for you. Remember Steve Kern and Kevin Sullivan? They were mates. They were friends right before Kevin Sullivan did the big turn in Florida.
Yeah, I would say down in Florida, season. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Man. That was intense.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just great stories and great angles, and, you know, I wish they could bring just a tiny bit of that back.
Right, right. And then, you know, you look at feuds like, you know, with Rey Mysterio and Eddie Guerrero that, you know, stem from the roots of Mexico and transcended, like, through WCW and WWE and all that. I mean, wow. Their feud lasted forever, it seems.
Yeah, absolutely it did.
You know, you were talking a little bit ago about brothers feuding one.
Mm-hmm.
Besides Jerry and Jack Briscoe and Jules Strongbow and Jay Strongbow,
right. Mm.
Right.
Were there any other teams that stayed together as brothers and didn't feud one another? Or did all the other brother teams like feud? Like I know the Steiner brothers did it. I think Eddie and Chavo feuded, but they were uncle and nephew, though. They feuded in.
I'm not sure if Davey Boy and Johnny Mike Kid feuded or not, honestly, but. Boy, that would have been one heck of a feud if it did.
Were they related?
More personal feud.
Yeah, they were just real close,
okay.
Yeah. But, yeah, that's a good point, Brian.
Yeah.
Yeah, there weren't too many. I don't think there was too many that turned on each other and started feuding.
Yeah, so, I happened to run across... somebody's Facebook Live was doing something a while back this year, and Jules Strongbow was on talking, and he mentioned the match him and Jay had with the Samoan. And I never even knew it, and so I went on YouTube and I watched it, and he was talking about his raw emotion of how he cried after they lost the belts to the Samoans, and he was really heartbroken. And he was talking about, he said, you know, the funny thing is, y'all sit on here and he said, all the fans now, they pay like an arm and leg for these autographs. But he said, back in my day, he said, they didn't pay but 50 cents or maybe a dollar or two. And the other photo came in free. And they all started laughing. But he was very kind to everybody at St. Louis.
I got another one, Stu.
Yeah, go for it.
Charlotte and Natalya NXT, back when Bret Hart, Ric Flair, and ringside for their match.
Oh, yeah.
That one was good.
That's a good one.
Yeah, between
that
two families.
That was a good one, yeah.
That's real good.
Man, what a match they had.
That was one of Charlotte's best NXT matches, probably.
Yeah, I think so, too.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That was great. Oh, my gosh. That was really good. Oh, man.
And back, I guess.
Go ahead.
Back, I don't know, it was 2013, 14. I can't remember exactly when it was, but we had the Shield versus the Wyatt family, which were, you know, I mean, they were two, you know, bad guy factions, but they were, I don't know if it was an Elimination Chamber or when they had their big match. I just don't remember the year or the event, but I know at one of the pay-per-views, they had it was a great match between, you know, the six of them guys, you know, going at it.
So the crowd was very hot for it. That was a really good feud, I think.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I think the Shield is what really built Roman before he got force-fed. I think
the
whole Wyatt family, I think, were getting him over.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I had a feud on the brain here. I'm trying to rewind. I was going to tell you guys about, the Booker T and Stevie Ray, when Stevie Ray went to NWO.
Right.
And they're trying, Booker T, you know, was, of course, the WCW. And Stevie Ray was siding with NWO at the time. And then this was right before they started splitting to Black and White and Wolfpack and all that, I think.
Yeah, I forgot about that. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh man, it's so many good ones though. What about the Dudleys, Bubba Ray and D-Von?
Yeah.
I think this was more an impact, TNA impact, when they were feuding.
Mm-hmm. They were an ace was made too.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Whatever happened to China?
Oh, China unfortunately passed away years back.
Mm.
Yeah.
Hi.
No, she was one of the all time. She was one of the best.
Yeah.
Of her day, hands down.
Okay, I wasn't sure.
Now, she's in the Hall of Fame, I think, with DX, but hopefully she'll be in the Hall of Fame, have her own wing in the Hall of Fame down the road.
Yeah. Hope they do put her in the Hall of Fame because she was a good female wrestler.
Oh, she was the best of her time, yeah.
I mean, she was one of the best back then.
Mm-hmm. Oh, God. Any more... Family feuds you can think of, guys? I mean, this has been really great. It touched on a lot of
not really a feud, but I was not really a feud, but I was glad I got to meet Ricky and Carrie Morton this past weekend.
Yeah.
At a local show.
Yeah.
Carrie was pretty cool. Like, I asked them about the School of Morton, and I forgot it was in Tennessee, and like, Carrie was so humble. I asked him to see trainer Dr. Tom. He's like, yeah, if you're serious, go to Dr. Tom. So, Carrie was very cool to talk to.
Yeah.
And then
yeah, he's a good kid, man.
I'm so
proud of Carrie.
Yeah, I think it's good that Ricky's teaming with him because Ricky can still go, obviously, but like, if he's having limitations, you got Carrie there to take a lot of the action and give him the hot tag, you know.
Right.
So I think it's great that they're together. And then I got to see Barbarian work as well. I got to see him tag team with another Big Islander guy. So that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
Barbarian was nice. I mentioned you to him, and he's like, yeah, tough guy, misses you and whatnot.
Yeah, man, we had some great ones over the years, man. It was quite fun being there with Barbarian. It was almost like rodeo riding. You just hang onto the bull and enjoy the ride.
Yeah, he's super cool. I told him... Or he knew I liked the tough guys because I mentioned you and Haku. I got the Faces of the Fear picture, and then he told me to grab his wrist. I was kind of surprised. He showed me how to break the wrist grip by like lifting his arm. I was like, whoa! I didn't expect him to start teaching me how to wrist grab and break a wrist hold. It was pretty cool.
Wow,
that is
super nice.
Yeah,
that's
Barb knows his stuff, man.
Yeah. I know him.
You know,
I know him and Haku were like sumo wrestlers years ago.
Yeah. Now, funny story, Haku's story. I'll tell you of him and Barbarian. We were having a dinner one night at a Japanese steakhouse, and they cooked the food in front of me, right? So Haku elbows me and says, "Watch this, butter." And so he gets up, stands up, and starts talking a real bass, deep voice, right? And the cook just jumps up at 10 feet in the air and starts bowing to all of us, right? And because I looked at Haku, and Haku ain't right, he scared that poor old man. And he's like, that's funny, wasn't it?
That's funny.
But yeah, he was... Yeah, you're right. He was a sumo, tough sumo wrestler in Japan at one point.
I was watching some of the CAC induction and Tyrus mentioned, and I was like, oh, yeah, that's right. Like, it's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
I have one from back in the day that might jog some memories. I just thought about it back in, I don't know if it was still Mid-South or if they had changed to UWF at the time, but it was Bill Watts when he was feuding with Eddie Gilbert and the Russians over that Russian flag, American flag angle. And I think if I remember, they covered Bill Watts with a Russian flag in the middle of the ring.
Mm-hmm. Boy, that got a lot of heat, I bet, at the time.
Yeah.
Wow. Oh, man. Good stuff. You know, we've touched on Ricky Morton before, and, you know, Steve was telling about meeting Ricky and some theory. Remember the feud he had back when he was with the York Foundation when he was known as Richard Morton against his, you know, Robert Gibson, his tag team partner?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It almost was like a brother versus brother deal because they were so tight, you know. It didn't seem right, Ricky wrestling Robert. It didn't
feel right at all. Interesting.
No.
It did not feel right at all.
But it didn't last too long. Thank goodness.
it's amazing how some of the wrestlers look so different through the years. Like the other day, I seen a picture that Steve had made with Henry Godwin, and I asked Steve, I said, is that Henry Godwin? He said, yeah. He said, you know, Tex Slasher, Shane Appears. And I said, wow. I said, I didn't recognize him. And
you
that's
know,
like,
you, never
and you had that picture made
you
with
each other, did you?
Brian Clark Strow. I didn't know who Brian Clark was, but you had his name under it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Adam. Adam.
Yeah.
Mom.
Adam Mom. Yeah.
And he was known as Wrath in WCW at one point.
Yeah.
But you never saw the Godwins feud with each other, come to think of it.
Mm-hmm.
Tex and Shanghai. You never.
Yeah, I don't think they ever feuded with each other either.
Yeah. I remember
and also Mosh and,
one time
Mosh and Thrasher.
Mosh Thrasher, yeah. You remember the time Godwin about knocked out Hawk with the reverse DDT on the entrance way?
Whoa. Oh, yeah.
On the Raw.
I think so.
Yeah. Right. And the Headbangers, you mentioned them. They didn't feud either. They stayed pretty tight.
Right.
No, and neither. I mean, and I could be wrong, but speaking of Road Warriors, I don't think they've ever tangled, have they?
I don't think so. I can't recall.
Yeah, I know that they were split at one time, you know, but I don't know that they ever fought each other.
I think they tangled
right.
in a tag team match, if memory serves me correct, in WCW when they had the Battle Bowl, Lethal Lottery. I think one of them was on the opposite
right.
team, and they tangled in the ring, but in like a tag team match. But I don't think they ever fought in a singles match.
Right, but, yeah, but it wasn't a feud. It was more of a like a luck of the draw kind of scenario.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right. Wow.
You know,
we're pulling out some good ones tonight, man. This is great.
I believe Phoenix and Pentagon Jr. had some matches against each other, and they're brothers, so that's a really good
yes, that's right.
matchup.
Yes.
Lucha Underground,
right?
They had at least one or
two,
and then AEW, I believe. But definitely Lucha Underground, they had a couple matches, I believe.
Yeah.
Oh, right, right.
And speaking of Lucha Libre, I cannot get off this show without missing this. That guy last night against Kenny Omega, he blew me away. That was incredible. performance.
Yeah.
What a match that was. What a match.
I got to go back and watch it. I saw some clips. It was pretty neat.
That's probably one of the best main events I've seen in a while, those two.
Yeah, me too.
It was so
good. He did moves that I've never seen in my life. I mean, he did some moves.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, wow.
I've seen some highlights here and there, and he did like a cartwheel on a rope one time. I was like, holy crap. I've never seen that before.
Yeah, he did off the turnbuckle Omega. I thought Omega's neck was broke. When he hit the mat, I was like, oh, my goodness. Wow.
No,
it was so reminiscent of when I first saw Rey Mysterio years ago. And back then, he was like lightning fast. Mm. And watching Viking, how do you pronounce it? Viking?
Yeah, Vikingo.
Vikingo, yeah. Vikingo. Watching Vikingo and Kenny Omega, I mean, and some of the, his athleticism, it was so quick and crisp. You know, it just reminded me of early Rey Mysterio days. It was amazing.
Yeah.
When he did that 630, I think, I thought Vikingo was going to hurt himself because his head, like, was on the apron. He was coming down through that Omega.
Yes. Oh, man. But, man, that match was pretty amazing.
I gotta go back and watch it.
I know he's a champion right now in Mexico, but I really hope AEW does more with that guy.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, I do too.
Great stuff. Another one too. Eddie Guerrero and RFR, when they were the tag team champs in Mexico, I don't recall them facing each other. Do you guys recall their time where they faced each other? I don't think they ever did.
Who's Art Barr? I don't think I know that person.
You know him as Juicer at WCW for a bit?
Eddie got the frog splash from Art Barr.
Yeah.
Passed away.
They were real tight, you know. And
I'm thinking about
a blonde-headed
guy. You said Juicer. I'm thinking about a blonde-headed guy that was in TNA, Mexican guy.
No,
Art
was from out west. Yeah.
Okay.
That was
different, dude. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I don't think I knew Art Barr. I don't remember him.
Probably had the good matches in AAA.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
And Randy Savage and Lanny Poffo never got together, I don't think. You know, opposite sides.
Yeah, I think
that's a good point.
That I can remember.
That's a good point too. Yeah, Randy and Lanny.
And you think of how long they, you know, they were in the business, you know, and how many times they were working for the same company. And of course, we weren't supposed to know that they were brothers, but their paths just never crossed.
I mean, even the early ICW days, when they ran that promotion, I don't recall them feuding with each other, unless I'm missing something. They were
it almost seems natural with, you know, I mean, I had three brothers growing up that at one point in time, you know, we got mad enough at each other to fight. It wasn't nothing big, and it would just never, like, how do they go that long with not crossing paths and having a disagreement and at least having a couple of matches together.
Wow. Can you imagine the matches they would have had against each other, though? God, it was stellar. Randy and Lanny, man.
And also Butch and Luke. I don't think they ever fought, did they?
Not that I know of. That's a good point, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember growing up watching when they were the sheep herders, man. They were scary. I'm not talking about the WWE's version of the Bushwhackers. I'm talking about the sheep herders when they were a bloody, bloody tag team in their day.
Yeah.
Didn't they have Jack Victory in their corner? I thought they had Jack Victory with them at one time.
Sure did.
Yeah, they were bloodbaths a lot of times. Man, it was. And then to see them come to WWE, you're like, oh, these are the same guys? And, again, I don't want to discredit anything that they've done. But, man, you talk about polar opposites of where, you know, where they were to what WWE made them into.
And come to think of it, I don't think the Fantastics, I don't think Bobby Fulton and Tommy Rogers ever had a feud with each other, as far as I know.
I mean, they had one match against each other back in the WWF when they had the NWA feud going on. I think they had Bobby Fulton fight Tommy Rogers one time.
They had it built as a light heavyweight bout.
Yeah.
Because they were smaller. That was a one-off. It wasn't a feud. It was just a match between the two. But, yes, they did wrestle each other.
That's right, okay.
Yeah, it was a good match. I mean, it was a really good match.
I don't think Brian Knobbs and Jerry Sags fought each other, did they?
Not that I recall, no. That's another good point, Go ahead, Steve. Sorry.
Hardys versus Briscoe Brothers and Hardys versus Young Bucks. Those are kind of the new Family Feud matches. Is there a brother tag
team? Yeah.
And I'm sure Mark and Jay fought each other at some point.
Yeah.
Mark and Jay battled a lot of times.
They have a match on YouTube where it's in their barn. And the story is their dad wants them to settle whatever their riff is between them right here and now. And it's in a barn. And you can tell it's hot. They're sweating. There's no air conditioning. They're dirty. But it was and it probably went on for 40 minutes, I think it is. And it was a great, just a great match. Yeah, look it up. It's in their barn down in Delaware. But it was a great match. And the dad was like, are you done? Are you finally done? And then when they're like, he's like, now clean this stuff up. And he walks out. it was great. It was so good.
Oh, man. Classic. Didn't Barry Windham at one time wrestle Mike Rotundo? And I know they were tag partners for a good long time. But.
Oh, yeah, I don't know.
But.
I don't know that one either.
But if it did, I think it was kind of like one-off things. That was never a match.
Did the Armstrongs ever fight each other?
Ooh.
No, that's a good one. Probably not on TV, but I'm sure that family is fighting each other.
I used to hear stories. They would tell me stories about them fighting each other. And they would hate it when their dad would get in the fight because he said their dad wouldn't sell anything. He'd just keep coming at him. Full of Bob. Oh, man.
What about the team of PG-13? JT Wood, JC Ice, and JD. Wolfie D.
I think they did, but I don't think it. It was never was really a feud. It was just, you know what I mean, it didn't last very long. Because, they were tight for a long time. You know, they're still tight, you know.
They seem like they've been tight forever.
Yeah, I was just on this podcast, the Wolfie D's podcast. It was really cool. It was the first time we had talked in like 10 years or so. And, man, time flies. But it was really cool to catch up.
And then I know you brought up Barry Windham and Mike Rotunda, but Barry and Kendall never wrestled each other, did they? Barry Windham, Kendall Windham?
If they did, I'm thinking they did, but it wasn't never really a feud.
It wasn't really a feud, yeah.
They just, you know, they just wrestled each other, basically. But then they became a team a little bit later.
Yeah.
You know, Howard mentioned the Wyatt family earlier. I really wish that Mania 33, I wish they'd given Luke Harper a rub and have him in the mix with Randy Orton and Bray Wyatt. I think they did a disservice by snubbing Luke Harper out of that match, because he was the one got popular, not Orton. I couldn't stand Orton because he was the snake in the grass, and Luke Harper was the one that was trying to tell Bray Wyatt he was, and they just didn't even include him in that title match. I thought they should have.
Oh, I totally agree. Absolutely. Totally agree. He should have.
When he was turning on against Bray Wyatt, the crowd got behind him.
Uh-huh. Right.
Yeah, Orton in there.
Did Orton do anything with his dad? I don't think they didn't do much.
No, I think they just together, like feuding against Undertaker probably, but I don't think they wanted to get each other that much.
Speaking of Orton, there's a rumor that he may be coming to WrestleMania. Did you guys hear about that?
I heard that.
Yeah,
I heard that too.
That'll be interesting. It'd be really cool.
I have no idea
if you see the Orton Rhodes feud starting all over again with Randy and Cody.
I'm hoping Orton costs Cody Rhodes the title, and that kicks off a feud, because that would be an awesome feud to get going.
Oh man, can you imagine?
That would be neat.
Steve,
go ahead, I'm sorry.
I don't know, Steve or Brian, somebody was going to jump, say something. Come on in.
I was just going to say that Steve, you might have read it, but I don't know what's going on with CM Punk, but they said something about he sent out something on Instagram earlier, cut down Tony Khan, Jericho, and John Moxley, and then Jericho replied and said, delete, delete, delete. And then CM Punk replied and said, I ain't got time for this SHIT. And so I don't know. I don't know what's going on. I have no clue.
He's just putting his side of the story. And I think he should keep it. I think he should keep it in house, but I guess he doesn't like Meltzer's reporting of them is what the gist of it I see.
You know, whether you like the guy or not, CM Punk brings them ratings.
He did.
And I really think they should try to work something out with him, because
I read one of Jim Ross's books, and I don't know if it was a quote from him or he got it from somebody. He may have gotten it from Bill Watts or somebody. But, when it comes to people like CM Punk and, people that leave and, leave on bad terms, it's like there's never such thing as you'll never come back to at that time to a territory, because what it comes down to is putting a butt every 18 inches. And that's what CM Punk does. He puts a fan in every single seat, in every single arena. He draws money. He will always draw money. And at the end of the day, that's what's most important, is to draw money.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Amen. And with Roman Reigns, I see the same with him. It's like, you take Roman Reigns out of the equation, the business won't be as good, because, whenever you see Roman Reigns do anything, he's an attention getter. He puts butt in the seats. And he's on a whole new level.
Yes, he does.
Right,
yeah.
He had, and I was never a big Roman fan, and I haven't been, and I wasn't a big supporter up until about 2 months ago. I think he really started to peak probably about 3 months ago in his ability to get heat, and I think he finally really understands what his role is and what he's supposed to do. And he's getting that heat. And I think that if he... if they continue his run, I think they could almost kind of transition him into a Ric Flair kind of champion. I'm not talking about legacy or anything, but I'm talking about where he can go against the baby faces, he can go against the bad guys, and he will always be the consummate bad guy. You know, if you put him and Gunther together and Gunther gets a chance to wrestle for the title, they're going to cheer for Gunther. They're not going to cheer for Roman Reigns. So you have that ability to really have him fight everybody in the company at this point because of how much heat he's
and
getting.
Roman didn't change a thing. Not one thing about him right now. He is the big draw. And just like MJF, for example, you know, whether you like what he says or not, he gets people talking.
And he absolutely does. And he did it a couple of weeks ago. I shared it on another podcast that he was getting into an elevator after an event. I don't know where he had his bags behind him. And people were asking for his autograph. And listen, MJF's not the kind of guy that's going to sign an autograph for you. It's just his character is not going to sign an autograph for you. And as he's getting into the elevator, a guy's trying to follow him. And he turns around and says, if you get in this effing elevator, something bad's going to happen. Don't get in this elevator.
Right.
And then the door's closed. And then there was a woman who was filming and says, oh, is that how he's going to treat us, you know, after we do this? Yeah, because you know what? You're going to buy a ticket to the next town that he goes to because of what he just did. Because he stayed in character until he got inside that elevator.
Right.
That's exactly
and see,
what he
Roddy
did.
Piper, I saw this special they did on Roddy Piper, WWE, right, recently. And, Piper was a master at that. You know, Piper knew his worth, and he wouldn't budge. And that's what made him what he was. And Vince McMahon even said at one point, said if it weren't the whole 80s rock and wrestling thing would have been nothing without Roddy Piper.
Oh, without a doubt.
I mean, he really put Piper, he put him over huge.
Absolutely. Yeah, and you can credit Hulk Hogan for what he did, but he did – Hulk Hogan did what he did after Piper did what he did. So it took that springboard of Piper being who he was and springboarding Hogan to where he was. And you're right, you know, Hogan, I thought they said that, and I could be wrong, I don't know if it was that special or the one before, where Piper never lost, I think, or maybe only one time lost cleanly to Hulk Hogan in their entire run going back and forth.
Right.
Hogan never, he only pinned him one time.
And Vince said it best. He said, you know, Parker was the perfect antagonist. He was
absolutely
the ultimate antagonist that was needed to make everything, the whole rock and wrestling, Hulkamania, everything work at the time.
Yeah. And I remember when they were talking about the whole Piper Spit Coconut incident, and he was talking it over to Jimmy Snuka. He's like, what do you want me to do? And Snuka says, hit me with that coconut as hard as you can. He's like, are you serious? He's like, yeah, take that coconut and hit me as hard as you can. He's like, it's the only way that it's going to sell is if you have to hit me with it. And you can watch every angle of that tape. He hit him about as hard as you can hit somebody with a coconut.
And from what Vince was saying, it wasn't the gimmick coconut that he was supposed to hit him with. He hit him with a solid.
He hit him with a real coconut. And then when Snuka pushed the dividing wall down and just the whole anger in his, you know, in his demeanor, Snuka made me believe that if he got his hands on Piper, he was going to kill him. That was the only way that was going to end.
And probably so.
Piper was
like, those matches afterwards with Snuka, they were like wild.
So they used a coconut instead of pineapple.
Oh yeah.
Yes, it was a coconut. Yes, and it wasn't a gimmick coconut.
You know,
it was a coconut.
Oh my goodness!
Oh, yeah.
Do you know I've been thinking all these years that it was a pineapple they used?
No, it was a coconut.
Okay. Well, wow.
He probably
thought
it was a pineapple.
Yeah, he probably wanted to use a pineapple. But yeah, he was the greatest antagonist that you could ever ask for.
No doubt.
You know, ever ask for. And he was great.
Man.
He was just great at what he did. He was great on the mic. He was great in the ring. He was great just standing in the ring. He could draw heat just standing there in the middle of the ring and would not say anything for 4 or 5 minutes, you know, and people hated him.
Remember when he showed up at Halloween Havoc and a giant and Hogan was in the ring and Roddy Piper comes out there and there looks at Hogan and then Hogan goes to talk and he said, shut up. and let me talk, you know. I thought that was so funny.
That was great.
Yeah. Steve, were you going to chime in?
It was almost like a family feud. Roddy Piper and Bret Hart. They would call each other cousins,
yeah.
I believe. And...
Yeah, they were tight.
Oh,
for so
man. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that was a good one. Oh, man.
It was like one of Piper's best technical matches.
Yeah, that Intercontinental title match was really good they had.
Right.
And Roddy and Bret.
Also, the match where Roddy Piper fought Shawn Michaels was good, too, for that kind of title.
Yeah, that was good, yeah. That was really good.
Yeah, and I mean, you can't forget, and not that they were brothers per se, but you can't forget about, you know, Piper and Valentine. For what was it, the U.S. title with that dog collar match? I think it was one of the early Starcades. 83, 84, somewhere around there. that's a dog collar match.
And Piper struggled with that afterwards, you know, with the ear and everything.
With it, yeah.
For many
it's
years.
It's got an eerie mystique now because Jay Briscoe and Brody Lee, both their last big matches, title matches, were a dog collar match. It's very interesting.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. That is an interesting
this day, one of the most brutal matches ever. The dog collar match, man. To this day. They're one of the most brutal matches.
When I was at Ambrose's panel years ago at a convention, somebody asked him about a match stipulation he'd want to work or use, and he said dog collar match, which I thought was cool. Reminded me of Piper.
Mm-hmm.
And was it a Piper that had the dog collar wrapped around his face and went into his mouth, and he was like, you could almost taste the steel if you're watching. You're like, oh my, like it's. I mean, I think Valentine had it wrapped up pretty tight around his face.
Yeah, Greg said he had to go to the dentist the next day, fix his teeth. His grill was all messed up.
I'm sure more than just his grill was messed up. But that was just a brutal. That was brutal. And then the I Quit match between Tully and Magnum. In the steel cage with the wooden chair. You know, where Tully to this day still says he never said I quit, which I think is great because he's continuing that.
Wait, he did. He never did. He never did.
And, Magnum is Godfather, I believe. So that kind of ended up being a thin dude.
Yeah. Yeah. And then I remember after. And I didn't realize the importance of it, but right after Magnum was hurt and he came back and he had his arm in a sling, and they attacked Dusty Rhodes. The Four Horsemen attacked Dusty Rhodes, and in order to make it look real, Tully kind of just grabbed Magnum and laid him to the ground and just kind of laid on top of him to make it look like they were fighting, so he wouldn't really get hurt after being, you know, in that car accident that he had. And I watched it as a kid, I'm like, man, he's beating him up, and don't he know he was just in a car accident? And then when you watch it again, you know, hindsight being what it is, you're like, he's just protecting him is all he's doing. He's making sure that he doesn't get hurt. And I thought, you know, that, you know, and again, it goes back to how long these guys have been together and how well they know each other, how much they trust each other.
Now, according to Terry Funk, he claims that Ric Flair tricked him. In the I Quit match they had in New York Knockout, where they kept saying no, yes, no, yes, and finally Terry said yes.
I remember that. That was funny.
That's great when you can carry kayfabe all these years later, you know, and you still say no, that's not how it happened, you know, and. You know, I'm sure if you talk to Shawn Michaels, and if you listen to Bobby Heenan, it wasn't Shawn kicking Marty through the window. Marty just jumped through the window to get out of the way. He wanted out of there. And I'm sure if you ask him today, That's what happened.
Good stuff, guys. But this has been awesome, guys. It's been really cool. Thank you guys so much. It's been great. We got to do this again as soon as possible. Maybe next Thursday would be great.
Maybe let's set something up for next Thursday.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Definitely. Is there anything you guys want to plug? Any plugs want to go out there? Yeah, plug away.
I really enjoyed my time at Mid-Atlantic Territory Wrestling this past weekend. That was great. And then
awesome.
Had a couple of seminars at my gym. They were pretty fun. If anybody's serious about grappling and jiu-jitsu, look up Chris Payne from BJJ Globetrotters, like the UK guy. He actually I asked him about Billy Robinson, and he told me he trained at Snake Pit Wigan, and I thought that was pretty cool. Like,
nice.
I've met Billy before, but I hadn't confirmed that I'd met anybody that trained over there, so that was pretty cool to hear. And then I got put in the chokehold and for a drill or like a demonstration. Thankfully, I didn't pass out, but I'm sure he would have if I kept holding on. But it was a fun time. And glad there's more wrestling in Virginia. There's Barroom Entertainment Wrestling on April 20th in Hampton. So and then Mid-Atlantic Territory Wrestling, I think, on April 2nd. So some good stuff coming up.
Awesome. Guys, if you're in the area, feel free to check these events out, man. They sound really cool. Thank you, Steve. Any more plugs, guys?
Maybe not a plug necessarily, but, you know, I know you mentioned Black Bart earlier. Just keep him, and, you know, again, superstar Billy Graham, and, you know, not sure what his health update is. And, of course, Jerry Lawler, although it seems like Lawler is – you know, on the road to recovery, but I'm sure, you know, all three of those men have, you know, long roads ahead of them in their recovery. And, you know, these are guys from my childhood. And my childhood is, you know, starting to disappear. And, you know, I would just want them, you know, around as long as I, you know, as long as we can have them.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Brian, you got any plugs?
Only thing, I guess, is just remember me and my family in your prayers, and remember the people in Ukraine in your prayers as they're still battling this war going on, and, you know, just remember this country in your prayers, because we all know this country needs God, because it's just gone crazy, you know.
Oh, absolutely. Definitely. Patty, you got any plugs? Patty, you there?
Did she give up?
Okay. guys, it's been great. Be sure to catch the archives of tonight's show on DOCNation.com. Just look for WCW Retro in today's date and look for Family Feuds. Big shout out to our Spotify and iTunes listeners. Thank you guys for your support. Much appreciated. And, guys, it's been great. Thank you so much.
Great show, Stro. Thank you.
Thank you, guys. Have a great rest of the week and weekend. God bless.